Okay, so thanks everyone for coming. Today I'm going to talk about two projects. One is MetaLLB, which I'm currently maintaining, and the other one is FRR, which kind of started integrating in MetaLLB more or less 1 year and a half ago. Is anyone using MetaLLB? Awesome. Okay, so if you found it less stable in the past 2 years, that's because of me. So again, the agenda today is I'll describe what MetaLLB is, why it matters in the context of Kubernetes, then I'll introduce FRR, and then I'll talk about the integration between the two. Some quick words about me. I'm Federico. I work for Red Hat almost for four years now, and I'm part of this networking team on the OpenShift platform that is in charge of making it suitable to run telco workloads that we know have slightly different requirements from a regular application that runs on the cloud environments. Due to that, I contributed to a variety of network-related projects. I touched our primary CNI, which is OVNK. I wrote a simple chain CNI plugin for using VRFs. I put some code in Kubernetes itself, and lately my primary focus is on MetaLLB. But please don't think that I'm a networking expert, because I'm not. Who doesn't know anything about Kubernetes? Okay, so I'll very briefly introduce the concept of services for those that don't know anything about Kubernetes. We have our application deployed as multiple pods where we want to scale our traffic against. And the concept that Kubernetes gives us is services. And with a service, we get two things. One is a cluster IP, that is a virtual IP accessible from inside the cluster. And the other part is the balancing part. So the client tries to hit the service, and then the cluster CNI in some way balances the traffic across the different endpoints. It's more than this. We have IP families, we have ports, but that's the main idea. What if we want to expose our application outside the cluster? Because, yeah, there might be use cases where we want to expose them inside, but it makes sense to access them from outside. And the main construct that Kubernetes gives us is a service of type load balancer. This is the definition taken from the Kubernetes documentation. A service of type load balancer is exposed externally using a cloud provider's load balancer. As we saw in the talk before, like there is the cloud provider, Google, AWS, that gives us an IP that is accessible from outside and that drives the traffic towards our application. And again, the emphasis here is on the cloud provider. What happens when we create a service of type load balancer? We get an external IP that is accessible from outside, and we get the load balancing part. So if we try to access our application, the network infrastructure of the cloud provider will drive the traffic toward all the nodes of our cluster so that the CNI can do its part. So, and this is important to understand how MetaLLB works. Once the traffic gets to the node, all the rest is handled by the cluster CNI. And in this case, this is a real network load balancer. So again, where we don't have control, and it's controlled by the provider. So just to iterate, we get two things from a service, from a load balancer service. We get a stable IP that we can pin our DNS entries to, and we get the load balancing across all the different nodes. So now let's move to bare metal and see what happens there. The first thing that we see when we try to create a service of this type on bare metal is the fact that the external IP, we are not getting an external IP because there is no one that is giving that to us. And the second part is, even if we had that IP, who is routing the traffic to the nodes as the cloud provider's network infrastructure is doing. And these very same two issues are the issues that MetaLab tries to solve. MetaLab is a community project now under the CNCF umbrella. It was originally started by David Anderson. Then there was a handoff to one Red Hatter, Russell Bryant, and two folks working out at Kimvolk, Rodrigo Campos and Johannes Lieberman. And during that phase, MetaLB went more or less in maintenance mode. They were replying to issues and stuff like that, but it wasn't evolving too much. And at some point, because things went in a different way, I started leading the project, basically. One nice thing about MetaLB is this dichotomy. It's used a lot in home clusters running on Raspberry PIs, but it's also used by enterprise users in very complex scenarios. So the first and most disappointing thing about MetaLB, but please don't run away, don't leave the room, is the fact that MetaLB is not a network load balancer. This was disappointing when I started digging into it. But let's keep in mind those two issues that we want to solve and see how MetaLB tries to solve them in a very elegant way, interacting with an existing network infrastructure. And the first part is the address assignment. And this part is probably the most boring one. We have a Kubernetes controller listens for services in the need of an IP and tries to assign them the IP. But what IPs are we talking about? Here we are not on the cloud provider. We don't have control over the IPs. And so in this case, the cluster administrator is the entity in charge of providing a pool of IPs to MetaLB so it can use them and give them to the various services. And those can be ranges, can be full ciders. We can add multiple ranges and IPv4 and IPv6. And then there is the probably most networky part of the of MetaLB, which is address advertisement. So we have the address, and we need to find a way to attract the traffic to the nodes so that the CNI itself can do its part. And MetaLB works in two modes. L2, I'll briefly describe how it works. It's more or less like a keep alive D. It elects one node as the leader of the IP, it replies to ARP requests, sends out gratuitous ARPs when a failover happens, and you can only have one node as the entry point for the service. And then there is the part that I'll dig more into today, which is the BGP mode. In BGP, we leverage the interaction with BGP-enabled routers in order to advertise them. So this is taken from the BGP RFC. The primary function of a BGP speaking system is to exchange network reachability information with other BGP systems. So this is exactly what we need. We need to find a way to say, hey, if you want to reach this service IP, which I'm assigning to my load balancer service, then you should go through this set of nodes, because then, again, the CNI can do its part. And this is exactly how BGP works. MetaLB works. Each node acts as a mini router, establishing BGP sessions with externally configured routers. You need to make MetaLB aware of the existence of those routers with some configuration. And then when we create a service, it will start advertising the routes to the router so that and this is a bit bigger for those in the back, so that the router knows that in order to reach this this virtual IP, it needs to route the traffic towards these nodes. So again, the traffic gets to the node, the SDN does the rest. And in this case, compared to the L2 mode, we get fully load balancing through ECMP routes. And the scenarios can be more complex. We can have multiple routers. We can have we have some knobs to drive which routers, which peers we want to advertise a given service. We have other knobs to say, hey, I want this BGP session to be established only from this set of nodes because maybe they belong to different RS. And of course, we can have cascading routers, and this is like regular BGP. The configuration looks something like this. We still need the set of IPs to give to MetaLab in order to have our services assigned to have them assigned to our services. And then we have this other item, which tries to describe the properties of the BGP session that needs to be established with the different routers. And we have a few features here. We have BFD support. We have node selectors. We support IBGP and eBGP, single and multi-hop. But even if we are acting as a mini router, because MetaLB's purpose is only to advertise routes outside, we refuse any incoming route to the node. Because again, that is not MetaLB's purpose. How it works under the hood. The architecture is pretty simple. We have one single pod that is the controller that is in charge of the IPAM part of MetaLB. So it's in charge of reconciliating the services and the configuration with those services, with those IPs that needs to be assigned to the service. And again, there is not too much networking this side. The other part is the speaker, and the speaker is the part that is in charge of handling the networking side. We run it as a daemon set. It runs on each node. It runs on the host network, so it is in control of the configuration of the host networking. And it handles the announcement part, so both the L2 and the BGP1. And now I will talk a bit about the history. Originally, the BGP part was done using a native Go implementation that was implementing a subset of the BGP protocol. This was before I started to maintain and to contribute the project. And at some point, there were a bunch of features that were being asked by the users. And the people that were maintaining the project at the time had this discussion about, should we start extending the Go BGP implementation to cover all these scenarios that the users are asking? And the result was, we shouldn't. We should not reinvent the wheel. We should leverage something that is already doing that for us. And that thing was FRR. FRR is Internet Routing Protocol Suite for Linux that is well established. And it implements all the stuff that we were looking for to add to MetaLB. So as the result of this discussion, MetaLB was extended with an alternative mode that is turned on by a configuration flag, where all the BGP part is handled by FRR. An FRR configuration looks like this. We describe our autonomous system number. We describe the properties of the neighbors. And then we describe the prefixes that we want to advertise around. And we can do more. We can set rules for each neighbor. And associated to those rules, we can say, hey, if the IP belongs to this set of IPs, then we can add communities. We can have local preferences. We can block this IP for this particular neighbor. And this is all the stuff that we had to do, we required in MetaLB. So now, in BGP mode, the way MetaLB works is that we are running multiple containers inside the speaker pod, as we had before, and one of them is running FRR. And because all the containers share the host network namespace, then what we need to do now is to apply some configuration, to apply the proper configuration to FRR so that it can do its part. So this is what we have. On one side, we have all these continuously evolving configurations that we receive from the Kubernetes API. We have the services that come and go. We have the new routers that we want to configure. We have this BGP advertisement that allows us to set some properties of the on the advertisement itself. On one side, what we want to achieve is the corresponding FRR configuration so that FRR can do its part. And this is done by some code that renders all this changing stuff and continuously reconcile it in some sort of internal data. We pass it through the Go template engine. We then generate the configuration for FRR that we want, but we are not finished yet, because then we need to instruct FRR to do to apply the new changes. And luckily, what we can leverage is this Python script, FRR.reload, that does a lot of stuff for us. So this comes together with FRR and calculates all the delta between the current configuration and the configuration that we want to achieve, and applies all those commands to FRR. And so, again, we get to the right configuration corresponding to the Kubernetes configuration, assuming that we are doing our part here. So, I don't generally add memes to talks, but I thought that this was particularly relevant because leveraging FRR allowed us to focus on the business logic, on what our users were asking to us, without having to worry too much about the protocol's implementations. And that helped us a lot. In order to add new features to the project, we added BFD support seamlessly. We added VRF support. IPv6 and dual stack were something that were missing in MetaLLB, and they came out naturally. But this doesn't mean that we don't have challenges. Probably the biggest challenge is like the fact that on one side we had an existing API that was already there and was fitting well with the MetaLLB use case, where the focus was the service. So I want to apply all these services to all this logic to the service. On the other hand, like FRR thinks in a slightly different way. So there is a good amount of logic in doing this API contortionism in order to have one API to fit the other. And again, that's because we wanted to be backward compatible. And probably the second most interesting challenge was the fact that MetaLLB was known to be super stable. Like, we came and we replaced the core mechanism about the interaction with the routers, and we wanted to make sure that we weren't breaking too much. On top of that, we started also to add new features. And again, we were changing a lot in very few time. And at the time, there wasn't a proper CI mechanism that was covering all the cases. So that was quite a challenge, because again, MetaLLB users were used to having something that was stable, and we were promising that we were replacing the implementation without in a compatible way. So the problem was, we want to be able to test something like this, where we have multiple servers, you have one router, you might have multi-hops, and you have all the configuration knobs that MetaLLB has. So, and then you have node selectors, you have the BFD that we're adding, we have communities, all and a lot of stuff. And it was like, this was something that I wasn't keeping me sleepy. So we started thinking, how do we set up a proper CI for this? And we use Kind. Does anyone knows what Kind is? Of course. Okay. So basically, in Kind, we are able with kind and with FRR, we are able to replace something like this with something like this. So each node is running inside a container. The external router is now replaced by FRR. So we use FRR both inside MetaLB to do the implementation, but also outside to validate that everything is working. And now we have even control on this kind of network because this is the Docker bridge. So this allowed us to add a test suite where we apply the MetaLB configuration and the FRR configuration corresponding to that MetaLB configuration, and we can inspect the external router so that all the advertisement, all the sessions are up and all that kind of stuff. And obviously we can even access the service from outside. And we can test more complex scenarios. We can test multi-hops, we can test IPv4, IPv6, dual stack, and so on. And most importantly, this can run on our laptop. So even the development phase is now easier to move forward. And also we are able to run this in the upstream CI as under GitHub Actions. So wrapping up, FRR made us able to focus on the business logic of our applications instead of having to re-implement all those protocols. To the point that sometimes writing this test suite takes more time than implementing the feature itself. And I think this is a nice example of the interaction between two different projects. These are some resources. The first section is about MetaLB. We are trying to be active as much as we can on the Kubernetes Slack channel. We always monitor upstream issues. If you want to ask questions, that's the right place to do. Again, I'm responding on daily basis, and I think that can be said also for the FRR community. They are super active in their Slack channel. And with that, I want to thank them because they made our life like super easy. And I'm done for today.
Any question?
Hello. Is it possible in a few words to explain when I should use ARP or BGP?
Like if you are doing, if you're working locally, if you have a home lab and you don't have a BGP enabled router, that's like, that means that the only alternative that you have is L2 and ARP. Otherwise, the BGP mode requires routers, but also gives you more power because you have proper load balancing across all the different nodes.
One more question here.
Hi, thanks for your call. We have MetaLB running on our worker nodes, and our worker nodes are talking BGP to the host. Routing to the host, so FRR is running on the metal machines as well. So can we configure MetaLB with FRR routing without conflicting ports? So because we already have
FRR currently running. You can't. Yeah. And that's something that we are trying to think to solve. One of the idea that I have in mind, but like this is super early stages, again, having MetaLB able to use an existing FRR instance, but that comes with challenges because you know it expects to reconfigure all the configuration and it might have conflicts on with what you have currently. So the go-to solution now is to have different ports, I guess.
Okay, thank you. I have a user having a namespace where he uses a lot of IP addresses without
control. A lot, sorry?
I have some users that are allocated separate namespaces in Kubernetes, and some of them are using a lot of IP addresses. Can you limit the IP addresses that matter?
For a namespace?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that we added over the past year are, and I think it's going to go out in the next release. It's merged on main, but it's not released yet. It's namespace selectors and service selectors in the IP address pool. So by doing that, it will solve your, that's meant to solve the multi-tenant problem, where you want to have a given set of pools associated with a given tenant and not more. So we are trying to remove the control from the service itself, where they as it was before, where you had to set a fixed IP or the pool that you were pulling inside the service and having it as part of the cluster configuration so that the cluster administrator can do that. And there won't be cases where applications are abusing of the cluster.
One more here.
Thanks for your talk also. I have a question about the possibility to have MetalLB coexisting with Calico, because I think in that case we have two BGP speakers on the same node, and I had issues with that in the past.
Yeah, I'm not a Calico expert, so I know that the existing configuration suggested to disable the MetalLB BGP part and let Calico advertise the services. But that's all I know, and I haven't dug into the thing.
One more.
Just to follow up on the last question, is it possible to run MetalLB on a different port for BGP?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it should be, but I don't remember, because it has to be a process parameter. I should check. If you catch me out later, I'll tell you. Because for the neighbor part, yes, it's like that is clear. For the MetalLB part, I don't remember.
Okay, thank you.